Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight I have Greg Archer, co-author of Shut Up, Skinny Bitches, with Maria Rego, her co-author. We don't want to forget her. She's not on tonight, but we have Greg here. In America, we no longer fear God or the communists, but we fear fat. Greg, say hello. How are you doing?
I am great. It's great to be on the air with you.
Well, it's fun to be here. I read your book. I laughed all the time. Okay. Why Shut Up, Skinny Bitches? Why did you write it?
Why? Well, that's a good question. Maria and I grew up together back in Elmhurst, Illinois. We went to high school together. Then, we went to college, went our separate ways. And I became a writer. She became an eating disorder specialist. And, we kept in touch. I went back to visit often. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I did an article on her and some of the unique things that she was doing in her eating disorder practice with some of her clients, and it got into Oprah magazine, and then we started talking more, and she was telling me about some of the behaviors that her eating disorder clients, both men and women, were showing after reading the book Skinny Bitch, which was sort of like a snarky, tongue-in-cheek, like, get off your butt and be cool and skinny and fit like us. And it sort of like played into the whole mindset of our current culture, which you always see a predominant message of, unless you're really fit, unless you're really skinny, then you don't have as much worth as people.
Right.
So she said, I just want to say, shut up, skinny bitches. And I thought that was a really great idea. So we started producing a book about that. And we wanted to make a statement that stood up against a little bit against the media and advertising, which was flooded, inundated with those messages.
Right.
Basically, unless you're thin or pretty, then you're not good enough.
Right.
So that was sort of like why. And then we wanted to include some chapter in there about men, especially gay men, and body image and eating disorder, which is an issue that's not really addressed much in the LGBT community. So.
No, it's like the skinny thing. In fact, I'm going to quote Alec Mopham, one of my favorite comedians. He starts many of his routines with the following: I'm gay, I live in L.A., I go to the gym, it's the law.
Yes.
I don't do it as well as he does. I've got better timing. But it's true. We do live that. And, here in I live in Fort Lauderdale. We don't wear a lot of clothes. It's like the one, number one or two. It's turned into I don't know what the latest is, but we're just a little bit behind Castro and Rio about, per capita gays. And people don't ask you, what do you do for a living? People don't ask you, where you live. They go, where are you from and where do you go to the gym? What gym do you go to? Who's your trainer?
Yeah, it's really, especially in, within LGBT circles, especially the gay men's community. I mean, it was I think I wrote about this. I have a blog called Shut Up, I'm Eating, which kind of coincides with the book, but I wrote about, I think back in January, there was a study that came out, that gay men would prefer to live one less year to have the perfect body.
That's correct.
That went on about, how they would give up a year of their life and just so they had the perfect biceps, It's very interesting. I don't know. I get it. And then on some level, it's we seem to not be able to accept people for the size that they are, and there's some sort of judgment in that. And we basically wanted to point people into saying, follow your own hunger and fullness cues. Eat a cupcake or a burger if you want to when you crave it, not 10,000 of them at one time, but follow your own instincts and live life, love life, eat. It's okay to eat.
Right. And that's, today, I don't know about what it's like out on the West Coast, but we do have everyone I know has a form of an eating disorder, what they will eat, won't eat, what they believe is making them fat, what they believe is making them thin. You have a dinner party, you're scared to death to serve food, because somebody's a vegan and somebody's just on the low-carb diet and somebody's on the paleo diet. And these are religions. These diets have turned into religions. Are you finding that on the West Coast too?
Oh, God. Well, especially, I go to L.A. for a lot of business. So, I mean, that whole culture in L.A., movie industry and everything is really about image, all about the exterior.
Right.
Very little do you kind of probe deeper, maybe in the creative material, but not like, you know, one-on-one. But, and in
right.
San Francisco, you know, if you go, you know, walk through the Castro, and I mean, everything's
right.
really about, you know, the way you look. But the funny thing is, I don't think most people kind of connect the dots, and maybe now they're starting to, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to write the book and also to, like, reach out to men, because nobody's really talking about that.
That's correct.
Men with body image and stuff, was that, you know, the more you, if you're a chronic dieter and you're constantly, you know, counting calories or going on from one diet to another, then you're kind of setting yourself up for, you know, an eating disorder. And,
right.
And basically, you know, basically your metabolism is going to shift so dramatically that you're really kind of putting yourself at risk, rather than if you just ate and followed your hunger and fullness cues and, you know, were
right.
fit and exercised and did all that, you'd probably be doing much, much better service to your body than you know,
right.
starving yourself and counting your calories and,
correct.
You know, because, you know, most people think like, well, okay, I'm not gonna eat a lot of calories this week because I have to go to some function on the weekend.
Right.
And but the truth of it is, you're not going to gain. I mean, people think they're going to gain like all this weight in a week or something. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, if
correct.
You were a consistent overeater for like 3 to 6 weeks, and then you probably
right.
your body would probably start to do something. But
right.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping that, you know, we've had some great success and great feedback on the book, and I'm hoping that it continues to keep, and just putting the message out there to remind
right.
people to like their body
correct.
And like who they are, you know.
Yeah, exactly, because my partner's a physician, he's a psychiatrist, and he's always telling people, I get to overhear stuff all the time on the phone, and I get free. I'm a great patient. I get no copays and stuff. He's really not happy with me. But
lucky you.
But I know. I really lucked out on this one. Anyway, he does explain why the medical reason, though, it kind of goes over people's heads. But you just mentioned the thing about starving yourself. When you starve yourself, there you've got something in your body called cortisol. The cortisol level goes up when you're stressed, and your cortisol level goes up when you fast. This is, comes from your caveman days, and you store fat. Cortisol makes you store fat. So when you're stressed about your eating, and also when you starve, when you do these crazy cleansings, your cortisol level goes up, and you start storing fat. So starving yourself, fasting, actually does the opposite of good diet and eating, which you feel like we... This, I'm giving you medical stuff here. You don't need it. Just tell me to shut up. But if you said what that actually does fit in the medical world is eating and listening to your body, because our digestive systems have not changed much in 10,000 years. And when caveman hungry, he ate. When caveman wanted sex, he had sex. So, you know, we didn't really worry about all those things, but we also moved. And your book is hilarious, but let me give you the quote right before chapter one that just went, oh my God, it's so true. And it's from Julia Child, one of my heroes. Oprah was my other hero. You already had me at Oprah when you said you were published at Oprah. But anyway, I'm awfully sorry. I know, stop laughing. I'm awfully sorry for people who are taken in by all of today's dietary mumbo jumbo. They are not getting any enjoyment out of their food. That is so
true.
Oh, my God. You picked the perfect quote to start this book. Enjoyment.
Yeah.
Joy.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, food is like such a uniter. I mean, we come together for food. Food is often like around big events, and it connects us through, you know, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, food is not the enemy. It's,
no.
I don't know. It's something that we really wanted to put out there, and we've had some little, you know, like people have been, or, you know, certain organizations or whatever have maybe said, like, well, how can you, like, you know, tell people to eat a cupcake? And I'm like, well, yeah, we're telling people to eat a cupcake if they crave a cupcake, not
right.
to eat 10 cupcakes in a row, which is
right.
probably something they wouldn't really crave. So I don't know. I've been speaking out more about, you know, as the years progress since the book came out, I'm now kind of getting into sort of a little area where I'm speaking up or speaking to men with, you know, gay men with, you know, who are interested or curious about body image and men with eating disorders. And that's sort of like a sub area that I really kind of want to talk to, because I was really addressing that. And I think it's a very big issue within the gay community. I found this really cool resource guide for gay men called Named. It's N-A-M-E-D. N-A-M-E-D.
Okay.
It's namedinc.org. It's the National Association for Males or Men with Eating Disorders.
Uh-huh.
It's a really great resource place for men to go to.
Okay.
To find out, like, you know, okay, if I have a body image disorder, an eating disorder, you know, where do I go? Who do I call?
Right. And
there's one guy named Chris. I don't know his last name, but he founded this thing several years ago, and he kind of points people, you know, to, like, how to find access to assistance, help, and all that stuff.
Right, exactly.
Because people don't really know that the statistics are, you know, the statistics are pretty alarming. I mean, from my notes and from our research, and this may change. This may have changed because it's been like a few years now. But it's like estimated that 10-15% of those with anorexia and bulimia in the U.S. are male.
Correct. And I have that statistic in front of me. Actually, I was going to talk to you about it later.
That would translate to about like one to nine male to female ratio with eating disorders.
Right.
And nobody really, I mean, that's kind of not in anybody's, you know, you don't really quite think of men having those predominant issues. But although Detail Magazine came out with an article earlier this year about men and body image, which I thought was really fascinating.
Right.
So, I mean, something's beginning to shift a little bit. So.
Right. And from just a little more research that I did, gay men have a higher ratio of eating disorders and anorexia in particular. And I want to give you a little bit of a non-empirical, non-scientific study. We have a Starbucks here in Gayville. It's in Milton Manors, and that's where I hang out sometimes before I go to the gym and do stuff. But
it's okay to work out. It's all right.
I know. I'll make a confession later about something else. But I was reading your book, and of course, you know, you open your book and you read your book, and like everybody's got their iPads out and their Macs out and stuff like that. And you cannot believe how many people in the last, I read book quick, so it's only 2 days. People came up to me and said, well, what's the diet? I said, well, I don't think there's a diet. I haven't found a diet in here yet. It's all kind of just like common sense stuff. And they go, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like a guide to like, I said, well, come on, you know, it's got to have something in it. What do you eat? I said, I don't think it tells you what to eat in this diet. I think it just tells you, like, to be comfortable and stuff like that. And he goes, and it's like nobody really got it because it's a kind of a younger crowd. The time I hang out, they're a younger crowd, and they all look exactly alike. We have this joke about the clones. You have clones out west. We have clones down here. Our clones have a little Latin flavor, which is kind of fun in its own way, but they have got they've got the same thing about, you know, they actually think their asses are too big.
I'm Polish. I've always had like a big Polish ass, so it's all good. But I think, you know, we're so conditioned. I mean, that's, you know, what you're saying reminds me that especially young people in this generation are. They've already been conditioned to think that they have to do something or have something or create something to, like, be something other than they – I mean, it's all very exterior. We're I don't know. I mean,
it's
not focused on the internal or that sort of discovery or anything like that. But, just to put it out there, I mean, our book doesn't, you know, it doesn't say, like, don't work out, don't be fit. I mean, we're promoting,
right.
like, health.
Correct.
But
sure,
it's
sure.
saying, like, not all of us can look like, you know, the billboard model in skivvies.
Right.
And that sort of image projected to us 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year, gives us the sense that unless we start to look like that or are like that, uh-huh. there's something flawed with us. And
right.
And that's just not true. I mean, some people have a, you know, genetic, you know, predisposition to, they can look that way. They can
Correct.
Look out just a little bit and they look really, you know, like they fit.
Right.
And that's great.
Exactly.
And not all of us can look like models. Male.
Nah, ain't going to happen. All right. So here it's truth or consequences. Who is your celebrity body type crush?
My celebrity body, no one's ever asked me that question. My celebrity body type crush.
Right.
My celebrity body type crush. Well, I'm really pondering this. My celebrity body type crush. You know what? Josh Duhamel.
Oh.
Josh Duhamel.
Oh, yeah. There you go. And he's got a little meat on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like... Because I think when my body is, like, operating at its natural state, when I'm not, like, either overeating or binging or whatever, doing my
right.
emotional stuff with food, and,
I
think I kind of naturally would gravitate toward looking like that. I have
yeah.
already, but
right.
interesting.
Right.
Yeah, but him. I met him in person once. I interviewed him once. He's nice.
Yeah, yeah, he's a hottie. But he's got a little meat on him. You're not talking about a skinny bitch like Brad Pitt or something, you know. He's a skinny bitch, right? Sometimes.
Brad Pitt, would I, let's see, who would I consider a quote-unquote skinny bitch that says you have to look like this? Or, I don't know. I don't know if Ryan Gosling is actually saying, look at me, I'm like really hot and you have to look like this in order to be
right.
cool. But,
but
thing with gay men, it's like, okay, like thin, be thin, but no, bulk up. So there's like,
correct.
there's like a crazy message going on there. It's like,
oh.
you have to like, be thin, but know in a way you have to, like, work out and be really, like, buff. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I think gay men get a mixed message.
Oh, we do, because you have to be this way. And the limit is so small. If you go into some, like, gay clothing stores, there's, like, three sizes, and they're all too small for you. I mean, who's fits in these things? You know, and it's amazing. But it's a very narrow margin, and you are given mixed messages. I'll tell you my celebrity body crush. It's Ben Cohen. Oh,
you know what? I met Ben Cohen last year at the Black Beauty Awards in San Francisco. He's a very great, philanthropic, awesome guy. And
yeah.
good looking, too.
Yes, yes. I met him here at a GLAAD event also. And I'm amazed. You know, I mean, and he's not, you know, he's hairy. He's got a little, you know, chunky in the middle. And just, you know, that's my celebrity body crush. If I could look like that, I'd be like happy, happy. I'm going to give you a... But I did for many years. I always felt I never was able to look in the mirror very easily, and I still don't. If you told me to take my clothes off and look in the mirror, I would say okay, I'd run by the mirror quick. And
you're probably really fit and in good shape.
I'm in fairly good shape, I think. But I can always find something wrong. Is that common?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think most of America looks in the mirror and goes, there's something wrong. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're in a culture. I mean, now it's like, you know, several generations now, ever since like the 60s or 50s when advertising really took. I mean, we're in a culture where, you know, with the images we're being raised with and you know, the things that we're being shown are telling us that we have to fit some certain ideal. So... to kind of go
yeah.
against that grain and go, you know, I'm fine, whatever size or shape I am at any particular juncture in my life, because, you
uh-huh.
know, life is long, so you're going to be different sizes throughout your life.
Right, exactly.
That seems to be like a little like, well, what kind of concept is that? It goes against our conditioning. So
right.
I don't know. I think we need to, you know, I mean, we need to be smart. We need to be better friends to ourselves and better
right.
lovers to ourselves, but we need to like ourselves more. I mean, but I totally get it. It's not an easy route to sort of go down because the conditioning is so prevalent and so
right.
you know
right.
part of our culture. But you know, I grew up in a Polish household, so like you know, I turned to food
I know.
For you know emotional my emotional. I totally turned to food when I was a boy. Kid.
Right.
I've had body image issues most of my life, and it's
sure.
now, like now that I'm in my 40s, that I'm kind of going, okay, wait a second.
Right.
Kind of going or getting out of that.
Right.
But it's not easy. It takes a very vigilant purpose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was raised in a Jewish kosher home where my family was in the kosher catering business. So I was raised to worry and plan about my next meal while I'm eating the present meal.
I totally get that.
I'm so glad because, you know, we're bonding. But so, I mean, and there are certain foods associated with certain days of the week. There are certain foods associated with certain holidays, just like any other religion. And food is not only a great symbol, but it has to be like the best food. And of course, the best food is always the most fulfilling and fulfilling in many ways. So I've had ups and downs. I used to have three sizes in my closet. I'm down to one or two, maybe. But we're good. We're all good. I know. It's truth or consequences time. You know, it's interesting. You said you're 40. I'm a little older. I'm actually 61. I don't act it or look it. But we lived through the HIV world. I mean, in fact, you're probably your whole dating life. Most of my life, I have been under the pall or under the sphere of HIV, where 15, 25 years ago, we had these gaunt, scary-looking people in our community that we nurtured and we loved, and we loved them unconditionally. We marched. We did wonderful things for. And about 6 or 8 years ago, I guess maybe with the drugs or maybe with the apathy or maybe with the wearing out, it seems like that's all gone. You know, we don't really, and HIV/AIDS is still a huge issue, but, you know, that we've reversed. We've gone to conditional love. Oh, I can't, is he hot? You know, I mean, everyone has to be hot. Everyone has to have the six-pack ab. You look at, I met my partner 10 years ago through a personal ad, and he actually was drawn to my ad because I had my shirt on.
Now, that's very bold of you. Thank you for doing that for America.
Well, thank you, because it's taken me a long time to take the shirt off. So, you know, but no, I did, and I didn't talk about sizes of any chest, arms, legs, penis, you know, things like that, because I was not comfortable with that. But it actually was the attraction for it. So I'm telling all of you men out there, not to impress you that I found a boyfriend, but to impress upon you that you do not have to have the shirtless, shaved, oiled picture on your, you know, on your profile page. You know, and yes, you do meet normal people on the internet. I have to tell you, that's a whole other book, right?
That is a whole other book. You know, we should talk. That's a whole other book.
It is.
But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. I mean, I think what you say brings up, you know, some really interesting points. And I mean, it just reminds me that I'm wondering like what it's going to take to, you know, maybe have some sort of cultural shift.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think this type of discussion is helpful, and you know,
right,
the book that Marie and I did is helpful, but I think something maybe on even a broader scale, I don't know, like, you know, maybe a television show, I don't know, something that really
right,
kind of addresses the people, kind of get it, it's like they kind of like sinks into their brain a little bit.
Right.
But we're so, yeah, I mean, it's like, how do you find a little sanity and a little realism in a culture
right,
that is so image-based? It's
exactly.
It's a little challenging, but you have to. But
right,
but I know that there are deep gay men out there. There are real gay men out there that know the difference. Like what you're
yeah,
saying, you know,
right,
you had a, you know, you had your shirt on or whatever. You didn't talk about size and this and that in your
right,
in your ad. You were looking for some type of deeper connection, and there are people out there.
Okay,
sure. Those people are out there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they have been discriminated against. I think that, you
yeah,
know, still, I mean, I don't know if everyone out there is listening, and we have over 1,000 listeners out there right now. I can tell from my invasive Google Blog Talk Radio platform.
How awesome.
I know, it's nice. We have a nice show. But I also know that everyone out there, I don't know if everyone out there has filled out a profile, like for gay.com or match.com or whatever. There is so much there on your physical, what you look like. You know, are you fit, athletic, trim, muscular, lean, athletic? It asks your arm size. It asks your, you know, what is this with asking your arm size? Because I have small arms, so I ask. If I had 20
inches. Yeah, I know, right? I mean, all that's nice, but, like, can you, like, hold a conversation? Can you, like, go into your issues? Can you, like, take care of your own emotions? Or do you have to, like, splatter that onto somebody else? I mean, like, that stuff, I find, like, somebody who's responsible for themselves internally and, like, can share.
Right.
I mean, that's attractive. And if any of the thousands of listeners are listening to me right now, I mean, you know where to find me. Anyway, I'm just saying that depth is really sexy.
Yeah. Well, but we seem to be talking in a minority. I mean, I'm really honest with you. I mean, I can go on any website. You can go on any website, personal ad, and half the thing, especially for gay men, is you have to describe your body size, you have to describe your height, your weight, and, you know, what is it with that? I mean, that fades, let me tell you, because it whether it fades or not, it fades in importance, because I just don't see it. You know, you want somebody there at night to talk to, in the morning to wake up with, and it doesn't matter what size his arms are, and it doesn't matter that he's got, you know, he can see his toes and stuff. Maybe most of the time they can. But getting back to what we can do. You mentioned the TV show or a reality show. I really think that you're right. There aren't a lot of men out there that are looking for something deeper, that aren't looking at the tight jeans and the size 30 waist. And I'm not sure how to get it out there, whether it's social networking, whether it's a whole other, another reality show, keeping up with the normal gay men instead of the Kardashians. I don't know. I'm not sure.
There's something creative that I think can be done, but I do know this. My gut feeling for now just tells me, like, I need to keep talking about it. I mean, so I'm trying to, like,
keep
bring
going.
That issue
Good.
Up through, like, my blog, Shut Up My Meeting, and
right.
and just to sort of raise the, just to keep talking about it, because I know that if I continue talking about it or keep bringing up the issues, that at some point there'll be more greater discussions or broader discussions, and
sure.
it might lead to some sort of something. But
sure.
I think we just
sure.
need to keep talking about it, because I think that's, like, the first step. And then after that, it's like, you know, things sort of, like, kind of connect, and creativity
right.
kind of, like, spills out and all that
right.
stuff. But talking
right.
about it like this.
Right, exactly.
It's, like, a really cool step.
Can we just tell the name of your blog very slowly, because people might be able to write it down or
sure.
Okay, go ahead.
It's called Shut Up, I'm Eating, and Shut Up, I'm Eating.
.wordpress.com. Okay.
Or if you Google Shut Up, I'm Eating and Greg Archer, you'll probably find it. But
okay.
yeah, I created that as an offshoot to the book to just specifically address body image issues and eating disorders and stuff like that as it
right.
relates to men and gay men, and in particular. So,
right. It's also linked in shutupskinnybitches.info. Shutupskinnybitches.info, the book.
Correct. Yeah.
The book has
That's where you can find the book, or shutupskinnybitches.wordpress.com, which is sort of another blog for the entire book. So there's sort of
right.
three different places you can find the book, me, Maria, et cetera.
And you know what? That brings us into our last 60 seconds on publishing today. How long have you been publishing, and what are the big changes in our last 60 seconds? I told you it'd be the last.
Oi!
I know.
Oi!
No, it's a big
Oy.
Question.
Oy.
I know. I can't believe
it. Oi!
I know. I saved the best for last.
The publishing industry is going through a big personality disorder, actually.
Right.
But I would recommend those who want to write and be a writer to not fear self-publishing.
Right.
And if you have a really good story and you're really passionate about it and it's a good story, you know, don't feel afraid to self-publish.
Right.
Because you never know who might notice that, or a big publisher might come in. But
right.
the main publishers seem to be very interested in, you know, how they can make money.
Right.
And I say go with your gut, go with your creativity, follow that, and all will like follow you, basically. It sounds really nice, doesn't it?
That's good. Yeah, that does sound very good. You should like do like a little coaching, a self-published coach. That's your next work job.
I'm open to it.
It's great. Listen, it's 10 seconds, and I'm going to say goodnight from Fort Lauderdale. Thank you, Greg. You were great.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Okay. Good night from Fort Lauderdale. Thanks. Good night, all. Take care.